Bernard de Montreal. Preparatory Communication Number 74. Criticism. Men easily criticize men because they are unaware of their creative intelligence. They are only aware of their selfish intelligence. Criticizing a being reveals the negative traits of the critic, although he does not realize it. Because to criticize others, you must already have a defect. That is, you must already be blind to your own reality. When man criticizes man, he only extends the effect of his defect beyond himself without realizing it. A very sensitive mind can easily see through this mechanism and not be trapped by the net being stretched by the critic. If the mind is very close to the man who hears a criticism, it will remain neutral and totally insensitive to the psychological influence that the criticism will want to create. To be insensitive to criticism, you have to be very centrical. Because criticism always hurts because it is free. It is necessary to distinguish between criticism and objective and psychological observation of man. We can talk about a person objectively and psychologically without criticizing him. That is, without devaluing him. But for this to happen, we must be sufficiently aware of the value of being beyond our personality. We must see the being as a spirit imprisoned in a personality that is not yet adjusted to it. Then it is no longer a criticism of man that is made, but an objective observation of his psychology or psychological behavior. From this observation, everyone can learn something. Because it is intelligence. It is born of the intelligence of the mind, instead of being the product of emotional and intellectual subjectivity. Since the mind is always right about the personality, since it knows it, it is then easy to make great, even profound, observations of man, without falling into the trap of criticism that does not come from the mind, but from the imperfectly intelligent ego. Criticism is based on two fundamental mechanisms. First, it is negative and wants to be constructive. And secondly, it regenerates impurities in the astral of man, and creates a subtle cold between the critic and the listener. Because the one who listens to him does not have the same vibration as the one who criticizes, even though he is in a common space. And this cold, which is vibratory, can create discomfort in those who listen to criticism or participate socially in criticism. And And this discomfort is not good because it reduces affection for the person who tends to criticize, even if he doesn't realize it. So the one who criticizes always loses a little affection from the one who listens to him. This is serious because good friendships can be undermined in the long term. Because whoever listens to someone else's criticism will one day discover that he too is or may be subject to criticism by the person he was listening to before. In other words, you are never immune from criticism from those you listen to or approve of in their criticism. Criticism is based on a lack of creative intelligence, pure intelligence, an imperfection in the transmission of intelligence. This does not mean that the criticism is not good. On the contrary, it can be very good, but the point is not there. The point is that not all criticism is creative. It is only positive or negative in its construction. To criticize is a loss of energy in the human mind for the benefit of the astral consciousness of man. The man who is conscious must learn how to highlight human behavior or his actions, without weighing down his consciousness or the consciousness of others. And to do this, you must be aware of the vibratory value of the words he uses when he wants to make an observation about the behavior of others known. Otherwise, he will fall into criticism and the world or his entourage with him. Criticism reflects a need for man to see by speaking. So, if man only sees by speaking, he must see well. And for that, he must speak well. And well speaking, speaking right, does not come easily to man because his mind does not yet have enough vibratory power over his lower consciousness. So the transmission of intelligence is imperfect. Thus, man does not know how to speak precisely. Hence the phenomenon of criticism, instead of objective and intelligent observation which does not destroy, but awakens knowledge of oneself or of others. Criticism, that is, having a subjective attitude, instead of creative and objective behavior, imperceptibly nullifies human relations, because it leads the critic to form an opinion of the person he is criticizing. And this opinion, instead of shedding light on the situation, makes it awful. To observe behavior in others, we must not be subjectively involved with ourselves. Otherwise, we risk wanting to correct the world, without realizing that the world must evolve and not be corrected. Correcting is a psychological error of the ego. It is a kind of pretension of the ego. It is a lack of sensitivity. a lack of maturity, a lack of perception of the evolving reality of the person. To correct a situation, vibratory shock is necessary, and vibratory shock never comes from the ego. It comes from the activity of the mind in it. So only the spirit can correct, that is, give a new vibration to the mind and the emotional, and not the ego. Very important observation for all those who are moving towards a greater awareness of their reality. When the ego, in its unconsciousness, its imperfection, wants to correct, it is because it wants, without realizing it, to give itself any value. That is to say, there is still in it a little vanity, a little illusion in its intelligence. All human behavior requires evolution. All behavior can only be dealt with over time, because only time allows man to evolve. If man criticizes man, he does not change this rule. But if he wants to accelerate the development in a being, he can do so through an objective observation of his mind through his personality, so that the being perfectly absorbs the energy of said observation. This will make him recognize that he is under creative observation, and he will appreciate such observation because he will know, because of the vibration emanating from the observer, that he only has to benefit from the observation. So both beings will benefit. For he who speaks will listen to what the intelligence says through him, and he for whom the observation will be made will see that there is intelligence in the words that serve to teach him about his behavior. Thus criticism will have been replaced by objective and creative observation of intelligence through personality, and both men will witness it by themselves. Criticism is never good, even if it is considered valid, because it does not come from a source of intelligence perfectly adapted to the personality. It is difficult for the ego to realize the vibratory tension it creates, because of the inferior use of a form when it criticizes, because it does not have the sensitivity required to detect the error created by the attitude when the form is expressed in speech. So the ego, without being able to realize it, hurts itself, because the one it criticizes or those who hear its criticism feel this vibration, because it does not come from the mind. So not coming from the mind, they see it, and it is this perception that bothers them. When man is in his intelligence, it will be easy for him to make an observation, or to retain it if it is preferable. Many sensitive people are under the impression that they must, or are obliged to, correct or criticize any situation that lends itself to their opinions. This is a very great illusion. It is bad for the unconscious being. And in the being who is conscious, whose mental energy is constantly growing, it is even more necessary to restrict this habit, because the mental energy becoming stronger will create an obsession in criticism, so that these people will be more and more recognizable as not being able to place a word that is free of any attitude. It should not be forgotten that the penetration of creative consciousness in man does not eliminate the fact, even at the beginning, of character flaws and temperamental weaknesses. On the contrary, they accentuate them first, to make them obvious, and later destroyed them when the ego realizes it. It is only from this period, in the life of the being who becomes aware, that an increasingly perfect balance is established in him. So we must be careful with the habit of criticizing when we become aware, because the energy that penetrates can make this habit very tiring, both for the one who criticizes and sees himself more and more capable of criticizing everything, and the one who is forced to hear it or listen to it. Criticism is, and can become, endless when the being becomes aware, because he sees more and more, but does not see that he still sees imperfectly or only partially. The difference between criticism and objective observation of intelligence is only due to the gradual change of the astral body, as the ego disengages from its opinions, which are the product of the lack of control of the mind or of the real intelligence over the astral body. The more man becomes aware of it, the more he instantly recognizes that he has just ignored his right to speak when criticism appears on his lips. With time, he becomes wiser and soon more intelligent, and therefore more objectively observant than critical. Criticism always harms because it forces an opinion on a behavior that must be lived as an experience. So criticism is always powerless to change anything for the better. It can only shock for the better, which is not necessarily the good, because good is more subject to behavioral change than the better, which can be associated with a change in behavioral attitude. Those who tend to criticize have one more reason to recognize this, because they will discover that their own behavior also requires evolution according to their mind. They will then recognize wisdom in these words that say, "Live and let live." In other words, live by experience and let live by experience. Since human behavior is highly resistant to criticism, It is possible that the one who criticizes too much may one day see the ball returned. It is then that he will understand that criticizing in itself invites criticism sooner or later. Because the negative energy of criticism will be turned against him, against the one who criticizes, so that he too can become aware of his imperfection. This is the case of the being who is conscious, but who has not yet understood that consciousness is only the beginning of intelligence. Criticism is easy, because it allows us to give ourselves a look. And many beings who become aware need an appearance, because they have been without one for too long. That is, without a personal reference point that allows them to have a personal sense of their intelligence. When man is in his real intelligence, he no longer lives on opinions. He no longer has any energy to lose by criticizing, because he knows that the experience of the person he is criticizing is evolving. If he wants to raise or facilitate the awareness of others, he does so according to the power of penetration of intelligence into the study of behavior, in order to bring out certain points that have nothing to do with the person in himself, but with the behavior resulting from the imperfection of his subtle bodies. This disengages him from casting the first stone. The free man cannot and will not subjectively testify to any fault in behavior, neither obvious nor subliminal, because he knows all too well that the one he is criticizing is on a road to a work that serves both the critic and his target. Criticism protects the ego from its own flaws and allows it to see those of others. That is why criticism is a bad habit, because it prevents us from looking at ourselves, and from seeing that our point of view is already biased by the very fact that we express it. Because it is not objective, because it is not the product of the perfect transmission of intelligence. If criticism intervenes so frequently in the lives of some people, it is because they have not yet realized their identity. For when man begins to realize identity in his personality, or when he discovers his person, he no longer needs to give himself the impression of a personality that is false, the one that makes criticism. Criticism gives the ego the impression of a creative and real personality, while it is at fault. This is why the being who becomes aware of his intelligence gradually loses the need to criticize, to gradually discover the ability to make increasingly deep objective observations on human nature. While the critic speaks for the sake of speaking, the objective and conscious observer speaks to disclose what he says, what he knows, and thus allow the subject of his observation to learn something about himself without hurting him. That is, without causing him unnecessary suffering. Exposing a being to the mechanism of criticism allows him to understand why he does it. This eventually makes him realize that criticism is not only a habit, but also a need to express himself. However, since man has a great need to express himself, the easiest way for him is to do it in a negative way. Because to do it creatively, he must have become vibratorily aware of his intelligence and the form it expresses. And this takes some time. As the ego needs expression, and as it is not yet stabilized in its intelligence, criticism easily and often invites it to its table. But the being who becomes aware, although he develops a very great need for expression, also realizes at the same time that expression, if it is not perfect or if it is not perfected, can cause suffering. So he will eventually become aware of his criticism and gradually it will disappear as a habit. And it is from that moment that he will realize how much the ego tends to criticize. And this will make him angry because he will understand why it becomes more and more difficult for men to work together in order to create a pleasant and abundant life for themselves. Because they have lost the power to unite instead of tearing one another apart. Criticism disturbs the being in his relationship with the other. Because he loses sight of what is good and great and creative in the other. And only cares about what needs to be changed. This is dangerous because men do not realize that life is a vast organizational chart within which human relations serve the evolution of being. Until the day when man, because of his higher consciousness, can make the choice by himself of his relations where criticism is no longer possible. Because they are all on the same wavelength. It is only in and through this awareness that man will discover the subtlety with which it is possible to see all men, and with what interest it is possible for us to appreciate them beyond these characteristics that pushed us, during our unconsciousness, to criticize them. Many spiritual beings, on the other hand, refuse to criticize others for love. This is very particular to beings who, because of their spirituality, have closed their eyes to human nature. It is a spiritual way for the ego not to suffer from the unconsciousness of man. Then they use the spiritual attitude that love for others can offer them to avoid criticism. This is another way for the ego to close its eyes, in order to avoid the shock of social reality, and not to sink into a kind of spiritual terror towards life and its shortcomings. These beings then cut themselves off from frankly making the distinction between things, and often prevent themselves from facing up to the world. The danger of such a positive and spiritual attitude lies in the fact that they will not be able to suffer from knowing or seeing that the human being is not always uplifting. They will close themselves to the evidence and their lives will be more and more naive. Until the day they burst into tears in front of the increasingly unconscious scene of human life, whether collective or individual. Unable to criticize because of their spirituality, and unable to observe objectively because of their lack of real intelligence, they will remain beings with big blue eyes who walk the earth like angels, while around them it is only war and unconsciousness. Unable to see because of their spiritual love, they will only want to hear beautiful things from men, while there are no more men to say them. These great naive men will swell the ranks of sects and religious or spiritual or esoteric groups and will get lost in the illusion of peace. And when war comes, they will be surprised that it can penetrate the walls of their congregation. In other words, man must learn to face up to life and to others, and not to bury his head in the sand as the ostrich does. But he must learn to look at others without being forced to criticize them, because each man's life is an unfinished movement. And no man can afford to criticize others. And no man, either, can afford to bury his head in the sand for reasons of love. Criticism is a bad habit, and its opposite, the spiritualizing affliction of those who can only see good in all men, is a dangerous attitude. All this leads to the same conclusion, the need for man to see clearly by speaking intelligently, instead of not seeing anything for spiritual reasons, or to see everything subjectively because of a lack of objective intelligence. As much as criticism is an affliction, so much the blind is stupid and dulls the sense of man's social reality. Being critical turns man against man, and the spiritual blind makes man a Santa Claus who slowly impoverishes himself for love. One of the great advantages of conscious man is to know and recognize human nature well. And this recognition is essential for any being who wants to live their social life well. For as much as man cannot, on the material level, be invited to a perfect host table because of the serious problem caused by involution, so neither can he be invited to a table less well distributed for reasons of love and blind spirituality. Because the friendliness will be heavy and the atmosphere painful, so man has the inner power to live his table well, provided that he can objectively take his place beside the guests and not fall into a criticism that damages his atmosphere, or adopt an excessive spiritual attitude that will force him to remain with beings who are not in good company. Man must choose in life. And the best choice is always the most difficult, because it forces him to treat intelligently instead of subjectively. The newly conscious being learns to recognize, with increasing ease, why the beings around him conform to a myriad of attitudes that harm harmony. He must learn to see man objectively, without any pretensions, in order to be able to live off what is good in him. The great flaw in criticism is the lack that we show in others, whereas this lack is only one facet of the total problem of man. So we judge it imperfectly because it is impossible for us at the moment to know all the data on the human problem. So we focus on surface attitudes, and create an affront to a being who is as ignorant as himself of the deep human nature. We are inspired by ourselves and cannot even realize that all our emotions and thoughts belong to us only to the extent of our illusion. We believe that we are complete in our criticism, while man has not yet crossed the threshold of his reality. So criticism and its evidence, instead of benefiting us, delays us because it keeps us in the illusion that the behavior of others comes from ourselves, whereas it is only a fabrication of the invisible. The man who criticizes others is so entrenched from his own reality and that of the other that the slightest understanding of reality would make him mute forever. If criticism must be replaced by objective observation, it is to allow man to stop taking the king's madman for the master of the kingdom. Man's function is to support the activity of the mind, and the ultimate goal of the mind is to return to the light, while man sees only man. If man saw the spirit behind man, he would no longer be subjectively concerned with criticizing the apparent behavior, but rather with trying to understand it through his own mind and explain it to the one who would be the cause. To consider criticizing others cannot do anything else at home but to lose precious energy, which would otherwise be used to make us more aware of the occult nature of all beings. This would serve to make us aware that all beings, whatever their level of development, serve, on one scale or another, to apply, on a material level, forces that emanate and will be governed by the spirit later on. The cycle of the human personality, as we have known and understood it, is coming to an end. For man will go beyond the limits of subjective and reflective consciousness, to enter into a consciousness that will depend on his close link with the invisible, rather than with the illusion of his being personalized in the source of apparent and external influences. For those who are becoming aware on the globe today, It is high time they break out of their habits and began to function differently. That is, without habit. Because habits make man a prisoner, and criticism is not the least of the prisons. The word criticize is part of the vocabulary, and any belief we may have in its value is based on habit. Criticizing others is the measure of our lack of objective awareness and patience. Without patience with others, we cannot free ourselves from criticism, because it allows us psychologically to relieve ourselves of the weight we are criticizing. The ego is very subtle, so subtle that it is not even aware of it. So all his subtlety is used to criticize others. And when the ego is perfected, it will realize its own subtlety and no longer want to criticize, because it will realize the difference between perceiving a person vibratorily and making it psychologically. Moreover, the phenomenon of criticism is a psychological and not a vibratory phenomenon, while objective observation is a vibratory phenomenon. And as long as man does not have a vibratory consciousness, he will be able to criticize, because he will need to express what he only partially understands. When he is in a vibratory consciousness, he will no longer have to explain or express an impartiality, because his vibratory consciousness will force him to make a clean slate of all criticism. So what he says will be part of the psychological study of man, and not of any statement of an apparent defect. To be able to criticize others, one must be sufficiently outside of one's own mind not to be able to realize the illusion of one's own reflection. You have to have enough self-centeredness in yourself. We must still be close enough to ourselves to want to touch someone else with our fingers, to make sure that they are indeed and fully involved in some mistake. So we're still trapped in the personality game. And as long as we do not realize the game, the mirroring of the personality, we are grappling with our own ego. In other words, we are more astral than mental. Moreover, it is our astrality that pushes us to criticize others, because one of the great laws of the astral is reflection. And every time we criticize a being, we create a reflection that allows us to judge ourselves, using our personality as a measuring rule. For example, if we criticize a child who hurts, we create little reflection because we already know that he is evolving. But if we criticize a more mature being, we forget that he is in evolution, so we create reflection to protect our image, which is also in evolution, but which we consider stable. Because it is part of our psychological reality. But when we become sufficiently aware and realize that we ourselves are evolving and that our image changes very quickly, we lose the habit of criticizing because we see more and more closely, and realize that all men are more or less in evolution. So more or less reflection is created to protect our image. When fusion is felt, criticism of others becomes more and more difficult, because the time comes when we can no longer create astral reflection in itself. The objective observation of our intelligence then becomes a great tool, allowing us to understand human nature. As long as man can criticize subjectively, he lives in his lower mind and feeds on astral energy. When he loses this ability, he notices the subtle difference between criticism and objective observation of his intelligence and realizes that the difference between the two is only in vibration and not in form. He realizes that he is no longer subjectively attached to what he says, but that he enlightens a situation for the benefit of a greater understanding of human nature. It is from this moment that man enters the science of the higher mind and begins to dissect all the nodes of the unconscious personality, which he can measure and study with ever greater depth and precision. It is no longer the person himself who is the cause, but the mechanisms that make him unconscious in his personal or social behavior. Criticism no longer serves criticism selfishly. Objectivity has replaced criticism and serves the advancement of supramental thinking on Earth, and the objective instruction of man. Then, as criticism has lost its allies, communication between people becomes more and more creative and mental. All realize that the purpose of speaking is directly related to the true pleasure of the mind, and man no longer wants to hear anything else. He no longer wants to weigh his conscience with criticism. He wants to listen and hear from people who have something creative and constructive to say. Otherwise, he gradually loses interest in their company because he wears himself out from not hearing something intelligent. The supramental being has nothing to say that cannot be used by others. He has nothing to say that is not valid, that is not interesting, because everything flows from his mind. It is obvious that at this stage of the evolution of man, criticism is far behind him, and he no longer wants to know it. He wants to talk with awe about man, without what is said being badly experienced. He wants to live his word and he likes his word to be alive for others. Criticism often appears to be a living word, but it is not a living word, because the astral in it kills it, since the astral is death. When the conscious being has learned not to criticize anymore, and can objectively observe human behavior, he will learn for the first time that the psychology or science of human behavior is infinite. And he will find endless pleasure in the study of man, which is in fact the largest and most complex of all studies, because man is the product of an endless accumulation of impressions that create in him an infinite variety of movements, which mental science can perfectly explain according to the mechanisms that arise from the subtle aspects of being.